She is the KTAR news director, Martha Maurer, and she's also the one that just recently conducted this interview, sat down with the Phoenix Field Office Director for the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We call it ICE. You sat down with Henry Lucero this week and tried to get some answers, because I think for a lot of people, when we hear these stories, we hear bits and pieces of it. And I'll be the first one to acknowledge, I don't understand how it all goes together. It still sounds like a bit of a haphazard program or system. Can we start from the beginning?
Yeah, it's complicated. Immigration is complicated.
Thank you. Yep. But who knew it was this complicated, by the way? Anyway. Let's start with, who are the people, the majority of people showing up at the border today?
Right. So the face of the immigrant that's coming up to the Arizona border has changed dramatically. It used to be, you know, from Mexico. It used to be perhaps just males looking
young
for
men,
work.
Yeah. Construction workers,
so now,
farm workers.
Now we're hearing that it's family units. So it's either, you know, a parent or parents with a minor under the age of 18 or a guardian with a minor. And they're coming to the border mainly from Central America. And one country stands out, country of Guatemala. 85% of the people that show up at the border are from Guatemala, according to Henry Lucero, the director of ICE.
Okay. Now, I've heard our exclusive reporting on this all morning, and there was a part of it, Martha, that really jumped out to me, because I've gone to great lengths on this very show to make the distinction between an illegal border crosser and somebody who is seeking asylum in this country. Mm-hmm. One is crossing the border illegally, one is escaping persecution in their own country. So when I heard your interview with the ICE director and he said this, it changed a lot for me. Take a listen, folks.
On the news in Guatemala, they're saying that you can get a work permit if you're a family, if you're coming with your child, and that you're going to be released.
They're advertising this?
In a way, yes. And you know, we don't have those ads or those TV commercials or news reports or whatnot. But what the director tells me is it's word has gotten to Guatemala to where it's easy to come. Well, actually, the hard part is getting here.
Right. But they're telling Guatemalans.
They're telling Guatemalans. And not only the news reports that saying, hey, what's happening in the U.S. is that people show up at the border and they're processed. But at the end of the day, they're released, which is what we've seen in the last few days. But what he also tells me is smugglers are also telling people it's so easy. You show up at the border. You don't even have to end up at a port of entry, which is the traditional way where you can seek asylum. You go to an actual place where they inspect you and you say, I'd like to request asylum. You
Tijuana,
can do that in any country.
Nogales,
exactly.
Suarez,
San Luis.
Right.
But what smugglers are telling people is you don't have to show at a POE. You can just show up in the middle of the border, look for an agent, flag them down, tell them, I want asylum.
Okay, you say the word has gotten out and around Guatemala. I guess my question would be, year over year, from August of 2017 to August of this year, we've seen a threefold increase in the number of families that have been crossing the border seeking asylum. Word's gotten out in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. How long before word gets out in El Salvador and Honduras as to how to find the loopholes in the American system? And does the Phoenix Field Office Director for ICE have any solutions?
Well, you know, and I asked him, are we going to see more families? Because we've already seen busloads. And, you know, he says, unless there's something to stop the surge, the draw to the country, you probably will not see a complete stoppage or a slowdown. Typically, and see, ICE here usually releases immigrants. It's common practice. They don't hold them forever. If somebody asks for asylum and they have a claim, they may be released into the community pending their court hearing or whatnot. But what's happening now is that before they used to release, say, 20 at a time, now they're releasing 100 or 150 because of the big surge.
Just because of the numbers.
But the problem is that there's this thing called the Flores settlement.
Right.
And we heard a talk about that with the separation of families, you know, a few months ago. It came back again because what it says is that ICE cannot hold a family unit in detention for more than 20 days. You have to release them if it's for more than 20 days. But what that has caused is for more people to stop by because they're finding out, hey, you will be released. And then what's happening is, you know, more people are showing up and the detention centers are filling up.
I want to back up a little bit because I still try to understand. So we now know that they're coming from Guatemala, their families. In some way, shape, or form, they're advertising, telling stories, whatever, of how easy it is for Guatemalans to get into the United States and claim asylum. So they show up and they present themselves to that border guard. They wave down that white truck with the green stripe on it. Hey, I'm seeking asylum. They know the words to say. then what? You presented yourself to a Border Patrol agent. You are mom, dad, and two kids from Guatemala.
If you presented yourself in the middle of the desert, for example, you jumped a fence, you went through a wash, whatever, you are processed for illegal crossing. But then it also says on your file, this person seeking asylum. So then it goes to a judge who has to decide, is there merit to their claim?
Do they go to a judge immediately?
You know, there are steps. They go to a detention. They get, you know, looked at. And then eventually an immigration judge is the only person who can decide. You can go on and move on with an asylum claim.
And again, KTR News Director Martha Maurer with us here. And that's an important point. This is what I'm trying to understand. Mm-hmm. So I'm literally looking at a time frame.
Right.
On Monday, I presented myself to the Border Patrol. Who do they make a determination at that point that I have a valid asylum claim? Because I'm obviously not going in front of a judge right now. We hear about backlogs to get in front of these immigration judges. It may be weeks or months before you see an immigration judge. And like you just mentioned, the Flores settlement, they can't hold me during that time. So I'm trying to understand what happened.
They do have to see a judge prior to being released.
Okay.
They do. And first of all, an officer has to even get the case to a judge. An officer has to believe the immigrant that they actually have an asylum case.
What percentage do you...
So I've learned from this director that 80 to 90% of the claims that are presented in front of agents and immigration judges are accepted as valid. So these people come with stories that say, you know, I'm fearful that my daughter's going to be gang raped, or that my son is going to be killed because of the gang violence in Guatemala, and the violence is so bad. And they're being believed at a rate of 80 to 90%, which means that they can move on forward to their immigration case, which can take years.
Okay, so now we're at that 80 to 90%. Have some sort of reasonable claim of asylum where they can at least stay here until the determination as to whether or not they get asylum in the United States. What happens between then? How are we monitoring these individuals? There used to be a program in this country, the Family Case Management Program under the Obama administration, where they claim anywhere from like 90 to 99% attendance record at court hearings and 99% of check-ins with appointments. But that program has been dissolved under the Trump administration. So I'm wondering, how are we monitoring these individuals? How are we going to check in with them? How are they going to check in with us? And how do we know where they are?
Well, I asked this question. I asked many questions. And then the answer was, it does depend case by case, because people come with different stories and different circumstances. But most of the people that are released into churches and into the community are those who have family members here who will vouch for them, because the belief is that if they have somewhere to go, with a court date set,
in the
that
future,
they will come back.
That they'll come back and
so immigrants tell ICE, I am heading to Baltimore. Okay, that's where I have a family member. So then, if they are fingerprinted, which I'm told they are, they are checked for, you know, do they have any criminal history here or in their country of origin that ICE can detect, or any affiliation to gangs or something like that. If they pass all of those hurdles, they may be given an ankle monitor, which that's how ICE can track them.
Each member of the family, or
it doesn't happen on all of them. It really depends on the person and on their particular case. And so once they end up at the churches, which, by the way, sometimes ICE ships them or buses them, sometimes the nonprofits go get them for ICE and then transport them. So it's difficult to explain because there's so many things that go into it. But at the end of the day, I also ask him, okay, well, are people going to show up to court?
Yeah.
How do you
do
know that
back?
Everybody's going to show up? And he says, well, you know, we hope that they do. It's something that if they really want to fight an asylum case, it's in their best interest to show up.
Sure.
But what he tells me is that at the end of the day, of that 80 to 90% that move forward, 98% of them stay in the country, either because they're still going through a process or ultimately skip out on their court hearing and never leave.
Only 2% then get sent back.
2% get repatriated to their countries or deported because they're either found or they get caught. Perhaps they are, they come across a law enforcement agent who then sends them to ICE because they...
Wow!
So think about the large numbers that are coming and the number, only 2% of them are those that actually get sent back.
Okay, we could talk to you for an hour. So can you come back later in the show? I've got more questions for you
on
this.
Thank you very much.
And we have the interview online if people want to watch it. But I'll
KTR.com, you can check that out. Martha Maurer, our KTR news director, who also, again, sat down with the director of ICE here. And the more you learn, the more head-scratching it is. It's really frustrating.
Yeah.
by now you've seen or heard about, and you get this visual in your head of busloads of immigrants, ICE buses, Border Patrol buses, dropping off people, immigrants, at local churches by the hundreds. Well, we are trying to understand a little more about what's going on. And KTAR News Director Martha Maurer actually went and sat down with Henry Lucero. And Henry is the Phoenix Field Office Director for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We call it ICE.
And you know, having worked in the KTAR news department for years, I know, Martha, that when you cover stories, big, big stories like this that continue to develop, and then you get this kind of exclusive interview, there's only so much you can tell in a very short news report.
Yeah.
And I know that people can go and watch that entire or hear that entire interview on KTAR.com, and I would encourage you to do that. But as you sat there, as you were asking these very important questions, because they have so many of these asylum seekers that are now being dropped off at churches and just being released here in Phoenix, what part of that interview is jumping out to you that hasn't been told yet?
Well, gosh, there's so much. But by the way, the interview is on video and we did not edit it. You can actually go in and watch it from beginning to end and hear all the questions and see the responses from the director. So I just wanted to point that out because it tells a lot when you hear the director of ICE telling you about this. Some interesting things that stood out to me is that the majority of the people that are showing up at these churches are not ending up in Arizona. They're going east. They're heading to different states. 95% of them.
While they're presenting themselves to immigration authorities in Arizona, they have the intent of leaving the state.
They leave. They tell the officers before their release where they're going. And at that point, ICE verifies where they are in an address. You know, is this address valid? And then from there on, they said, okay, you can be released. They all get ankle monitors, and then they go on their way either via bus. You know, it's interesting because we have visited some of the these churches that still have some of the immigrants, and we can tell that babies don't have them, but some older children do.
Teenager,
exactly.
Children?
We can't really tell the age, and we're not able to also, you know, provide details on the names of people that we've interviewed,
obviously.
But all the adults do have them.
Okay,
and so they're going to these different states, and that's where they're going, and that's where they're telling they're seeing. So that's one thing that is interesting, that they're not ending up here. So at the end of the day, if they skip out on court or they take off their ankle monitors, it's up to ICE in those states, which you can imagine some states don't have a big ICE presence. So the resources in getting the fugitives.
In Wyoming.
Exactly. Hence, leading to, as we said previously on the show, leading to a large number of people that end up either getting lost or, you know, maybe they're still going through their asylum process. So that's one thing that stood out to me that I think it's important to tell.
You know, the other thing that stood out to me from your exclusive interview with the Phoenix Field Office Director for ICE was this. I heard this morning on Arizona's Morning News, and I actually went like,
"Ur!" I was going to say, do we have to be sitting down for this piece?
Well, you tell me.
On the news in Guatemala, they're saying that you can get a work permit if you're a family, if you're coming with your child, and that you're going to be released.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A little different than the impression that I had and that I've been, you know, talking to our listeners about, you know, people that are escaping persecution in their own countries. Well, the news is advertising work permits?
Well, they're at least...
And that's a lie, obviously.
Yes.
Well, yes and no. And let me backtrack. So at least whether they're telling people, hey, go to the U.S. or not, at least they're reporting that when immigrants arrive at the U.S. that they are being released shortly after. Again, because we have at capacity shelters, they can't keep them, and so they end up being released. Under asylum cases, because it takes years for asylum cases to be resolved, some immigrants are granted work permits. But that's if that immigrant goes through a process, checks in with an immigration judge periodically, and so it's an immigration process. It's by law.
We're talking to KTAR's news director, Martha Maurer, here on the developing story of the surge of immigrants released in Arizona that have been seeking asylum along the border. The story is continuing to develop.
Without a doubt. And Martha, thanks so much for being here to help us kind of understand some of this. Another thing that stood out for me, we got to this at the end of our discussion before, and I thought this was kind of the, oh, wow. This was the good thing I was sitting down. Thinking of it in as a matter of percentages. So 100% of these people coming in claiming some form of asylum. Mm-hmm. They are released on their own recognizance. Some have tracking monitors. Mm-hmm. All of them with a agreement in some way, shape, or form to come back to immigration court and make their pitch in front of a judge. What percentage, if you start with 100 who show up at the border and present themselves, what percentage of them are ever deported or, dare I say, repatriated back to, and let's just use Guatemala as example?
Well, I will give you a number, but I am going to backtrack.
Okay.
2%.
Two.
Are ever, the word is repatriated.
Yes, they get sent I used back. It properly, okay? Right? Repatriated.
So that's only 2% of the people that have been approved to move forward. That have been released. So not everybody that shows up at the border is released. But of those released, yes, 2% are ever sent back. And that doesn't mean that the rest are approved for asylum.
No.
Some of them are. In fact, 25% of them, as far as I know, are getting granted. Asylum, granted asylum.
That's granted asylum, thank you.
Many others.
Through it by a judge,
right,
through the process.
Many others are simply just in the system for years and years and years, but a lot of them either skip out on their hearings, get lost in the system, and cannot be found.
Okay, we've got one more question for you here, Martha. Again, Martha Maurer with the KTAR newsroom. Yeah, she's our news director
thank
now.
You.
And Martha, like I said, the story has developed. Our news team jumped on it when this busload of immigrants were being released at the churches, and you got the exclusive interview with ICE. And now the news team is working on a new development on this story. A couple of the reporters made it to one of the churches.
Yeah, so just moments ago, my team got back from one of the churches that received dozens and dozens of people. And we sat down with the pastor of the church who tells us, you know, we're burdened ourselves. We usually would get 20 people maybe a month or every few weeks. And now we're getting hundreds per day, two, three times a week. And so we are spending money on medicine because they're coming with pink eye, because they have the flu, because, you know, they have scrapes and bruises. We are being fined by waste management because our trash is over. Flowing, our piping is having issues. So
these churches can't handle this volume.
Is just the church, right?
Humanitarian groups.
And we've spoken with immigrants, and we will tell you more stories of them today. But it is sad. They're reporting abuse by Border Patrol. Mm. They are talking about how their money's taken away, but they're also talking about how they're coming to the U.S. not seeking asylum, not only because of violence, but also as plain and simple as the fact that they are poor and cannot, you know, take care of their families and
can't survive in their home country.
Your team's doing a great job on this. I look forward to hearing those stories as they continue to develop. And the KTAR news team will be on top of it.
KTAR.com. These are front page stories all over our website.